job, family, house, bills, mortgage, debt, all of that. One day, Sri Narada Muni took mercy upon him and said, he decided, maybe I can help this guy. So when Narada Muni showed up at his door, he said, oh, a great sage has arrived. I am so fortunate. Please come in. So Narada said, wow, this is pretty good. I can give him transcendental knowledge. And when he started to explain, oh, Kailash, he said, you have come at such a perfect time. My wife has just delivered a nice young boy, a baby boy, and we are very happy. It is a very good sign that when a sage comes, when there is a birth in the house, it portends, it predicts that my son will become very fortunate. Thank you for coming. So Narada Muni said, well, this is the time for you to think about spiritual life. He said, oh, no, I just have a son. I have so many responsibilities. I have to make sure that he's educated properly, he's cared for properly, etc. This is not the time. Once I finish my responsibilities, I'm all for you, Narada Muni. I'm fully dedicating myself to you. So Narada said, all right, what to do? I'll come back when you're ready. So Narada came about 25 years later. And there was a lot of celebration in the house. So Narada said, what's happening? He said, oh, Narada Muni, you're so good. Your timing is always perfect. You've come, my son has grown up. Thank you for giving me the time. I've taken care of him nicely. Today is his marriage. And he's getting married to this very nice girl. She comes from a good family. They're also nicely well settled. She studied. She's settled. They have nice money. I have also gathered enough money in 25 years. I'm going to bequeath all my wealth to my son, and I'm going to take everything from here very nicely. So Narada said, all right, so let's talk about how life will be from here on. He said, I have one desire though. While I do want to take up spiritual life, I really feel like seeing the beautiful face of my grandchild. Without seeing grandchild, I feel like incomplete. I want to see my grandson. Give me some more time. So Narada said, come on, this is... No, please. All right. So like Narada came back again, and this time grandchildren were born, and he said, oh, I am playing grandfather. It is so sweet to be a grandfather to these children. How can I leave? Give me some more time. I want to enjoy being a grandfather. So Narada came back again. And this time when he knocked the door, someone else opened the door. So he said, I've been used to Kailash opening the door. Where's Kailash? So the person who said, I'm his son, I'm very glad you showed up. And again, your timing is correct. My father is on his deathbed. Please. So Narada ran. Oh, yum. Antakale chamam eva smaran mukta akalevaram. He remembered, if at least at the time of death, if he can remember Krishna, still he will get, Krishna's divine nature. So he ran and he said, Kailash, this is the final moment. Kailash said, please, Narada, I'm in the middle of something very important. We have to settle these property matters. I have worked very hard collecting all this money, putting everything in savings and in this property, that property, and my son is a complete idiot. I think he's going to waste all of it. I have to make sure that it is secure so that my grandchildren can enjoy all the property that I worked very hard for. Please don't. And he breathed his final. And he died. And Arthur said, wow, missed an opportunity. So by this time, because of so many visits, Narada became very affectionate to his family. So he said, I'll come back and see them later, just to check on how they're doing. Because Narada is a persistent person, right? He said, if not Kailash, then at least Kailash's son. So he came back to see how the family was doing. He went to the backyard, you know, they were all sitting and enjoying the wealth that Kailash worked very hard for. And then he heard, psst, psst, cut, Narada Muni, psst. He said, I recognize that voice. It's my friend Kailash. So he looked around and he saw a dog was calling to Narada, psst, Narada. He said, Kailash. He said, yes, now I am in this dog's body. So Narada thought, that's right, when there is so much attachment to property, the next thing is dog body, because dogs are very territorial. Ruff, this is my property, get out of here. So he became a dog. So Narada said, somehow by Lord Krishna's potency, I have the ability to transform you even from the dog body. Are you ready to listen? He said, what do you think I took a dog's body for? I have to guard this property. Nowadays, property values have increased and there is so much of land grabbing and this and that and all of this, you know, very insidious practices by people in taking away property. I cannot give it up. I have to make sure that I protect it, Narada. Now is not the right time. So Narada left, came back a few years later, and he was now looking for the dog. It's like, where's this dog? Kailash. He couldn't find the dog. But he saw the family and then he was like, I'm sure he's somewhere. I wish Kailash was here. And then he hears a hissing sound. Sss, Kailash. Yeah. He said, oh, I recognize that voice. And now Kailash has become a snake. Apparently when attachments increases from dog, one becomes a snake, because snakes are also very territorial. So now as a snake, he's guarding that property. And Narada said, wow, look at your condition. From a wealthy human being to a dog to a snake. Even now I can help you. Please, listen to me. I can help you get out of this condition and be completely free and fully spiritual. He said, Narada, it's a dog's life is worse. It's very difficult. It's not easy to be a snake. But there is a reason. I heard that they are building some big project nearby and the property values are going to go up like anything. And my sons are thinking about selling this. This is terrible. They don't know they're sitting on a gold mine. I want to stop them from selling this property. Imagine, not only two generations, but six generations can enjoy this money. How can I let it go? And while they were having a conversation, naturally people cannot see Narada Muni, but they can see a snake. Children are playing in the backyard, his own great-grandchildren. And they said, oh, snake, snake. All the family members ran out with sticks and stones and beat him to death. His own people that he was trying to guard and work so hard for beat him to death. So Narada said, wow, whew, Kailash. Prabhupada narrates the story of Kailash. Of course, all the extra bells and whistles are by the special effects of your servant, but you get the idea. So attachment to things that one has worked very hard for, especially money, and everything that manifests from money, is a pernicious, insidious, bad tendency. And such a person is called Grihavrata, who cannot give up that attachment. And without wealth, dara sutadishu, without wealth one cannot have all of these arrangements. So we were discussing yesterday that household life means a facility. A facility for certain, you can call it enjoyments if you like. And these facilities come at a price. A price is one has to work hard to gain wealth to enjoy these facilities. It's not given for free. And when it is given for free, and I'll explain that, the price is austerity, to not misuse them. For example, Kardama Muni was meditating in the forest. Lord Vishnu appeared to him and he said, I have a service for you. Swayambhuva Manu is going to come with his daughter, Devahuti, is going to offer his daughter in marriage to you. Accept her. And that's your service, because you have to be a Prajapati. Yes, I will accept. And as soon as she was married to him, she is the princess. Manu is like the king of the entire universe. He didn't say, wow, rich wife, ask your dad to bring this, ask your dad to bring that. They lived in a hermitage. She became emaciated, serving with him. And they lived extremely austerely, preparing for the service that they had. And who was born to them? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Kapila. So if it was, his wife was given to Kardama Muni for a particular purpose. The purpose was to allow for the expansion of Krishna consciousness through Lord Kapila. On the other hand, one may gain one wife and family and property and money and all of that. Still, one should be careful how they're all utilized. If they're not utilized within the range of realm of Krishna service, those things become the dead weight that will take one down, down into lower forms of existence. So one should be careful, very, very careful. So in the fifth canto, we're coming up in the eighth chapter, the residents of Jambudvipa offer their prayers to Lord Narasimhadev. There are these famous couplet of verses, which I'm sure we've heard many times. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Jas Tejase. That set of verses. And the verse after that, which Prahlad Maharaj prays. What was that verse? May there be Swasti Astu Vishwasya Khala Prasidatam Dhyayantu Bhutani Shivam Mitodiyat Manashcha Bhadram Bhajatat Dhokshaje Aveshatam No Matirapi Ahetuki. This is a verse that is often quoted or discussed when talking about how a Vaishnava wants to make sure that animosity and envy among all living entities is removed. And may all living entities have a friendly disposition with each other. And that's possible only when everyone's engaged in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The verse after that is a prayer. Prayer to Lord Narasimhadev. That says, Ma Gara Dara Sutadishu. Same as this. Dara Gara Sutadishu. There's a phrase, there's a word before that, Ma. Ma means let me not. So the verse says, please let me not be attached to wife, children, property, etc. If there is, has to be any attachment, Sango Yadi Syat, Bhagavat Priyeshu Naha. I have a tendency to become attached. In fact, we all have. If that, since the tendency is there, let my attachment be to the devotees of Krishna. Bhagavat Priya, those who are very dear to Krishna. Let me become attached to them. So it's not that we have to get rid of attachment, it's who we get attached to. And he says, because a person who's attached to devotees, such a person becomes Atmavan. Atmavan means fully realized in the soul, in the self. So he's saying, please let me transfer my attachment from things to the devotees. So that's the transformational path. And we're going to hear how Maharaj Priyavrata went through the transformation. Because he was attached to Narada Muni, because he was attached to Lord Brahma, Lord Swayambhuva Manu's instructions. That is what helped him go beyond his conditioned situation. Confirmed. So that's my thoughts. Any comments you want to add, Glenn, Richard? Anything from this side?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you, Krishna, for class. And the issue of attachment, what we've been looking at suggests that we get attached to things we
have. Could you speak up, please, if you
we get attached to things that we have or seek and own. And a form of detachment is to get rid of those things. What about attachment to things that we don't have and detachment from things we do have? I mean, the longing for something that I don't have can be as destructive as my attachment to having it. And on the other hand, also, people sometimes have something, but they're detached in the sense that they have no problem giving it up. If that's what God wants, they'll do it.
You use the word destructive? Did you say destructive?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
First.
Being attached to things that I don't have, is that as destructive as being attached to things I already have? Or being detached from things I... Oh, okay, so that's first part. And the second part is, there are some people who are detached from the things that they have. And how is that different from... Detachment from what I don't have. Okay. Attachment for something I don't have is called hankering. Hankering is a problem because it describes the mentality that I am not happy right now. When I get what I'm looking for, I will become happy. That's also attachment. Attachment comes from the mode of passion. And a false sense of rejection, you use the word detached, one detaches oneself from things that they have, is also mode of passion. In Bhagavad Gita, the language used is attachment and aversion, raga dvesha. This is what the mind keeps doing. It gets attached to something. As long as it is getting something that the mind is enjoying, and the moment the mind stops enjoying from that thing, the mind rejects. And people say, oh, I'm detached. We're not detached. It's our way of rejecting. Another way of calling it is the mind is sankalpa and vikalpa. It wants something and it rejects it. It wants something, it rejects it. Real detachment is to know how to use things in Krishna's service. Merely detaching is not the solution. And being detached to things we don't have is silly. We don't have. It's like Prabhupada uses the example, to stand in front of American Express Bank and say, I'm detached from you. But it's not your money anyway. What are you detached from? I renounce American Express Bank. Yeah, it's not yours. So the idea of detachment or renunciation, like we're asked a college question is, oh, when you become a Hare Krishna, are you supposed to renounce everything? So the general answer is, well, first of all, what we have to renounce is the idea that we have something to renounce. Because we don't own anything. However, the illusion is that I own something. This is mine. It's that illusion that one has to go beyond. That I own something. That I am proprietor of something. Nothing. So this idea of attachment and detachment to things comes from the illusory potency. There is a real attachment. The real attachment is to being attached to Krishna and Krishna's persons, things. That attachment is fair. And the real detachment is to not use it for my sense gratification, but to use it carefully for Krishna's sense gratification. So I may have something. If it is used carefully in Krishna's service, I'm very attached to it because it is for Krishna's service. If it is not useful in Krishna's service, then I have no sense of attachment to it. So the operating principle is Krishna's presence. Is that all right?
It's very helpful. You kind of took the question in a different direction, which was helpful for me. I was thinking also of another dimension. This is, I don't know if I want to go into it. I think I maybe just leave it where it is right now.
Okay. Yeah. Someone else had, before you, someone else had their hand up. Glenn and someone else. Richard? Okay. Vaishnava Seva Ananda.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you for class. I was wondering if you could speak a little bit more about sometimes people think that detachment means having a cold heart, you know, like I detach myself from my family. When shouldn't the mood be like the more you become detached, the more loving the person becomes? I was wondering if you could speak a little bit more about
that. It's a very big subject. I can speak for a few hours on that. But you said the principle of detachment. Generally people get confused between detachment and indifference. Because it's something that we are accustomed to. Here's why we are accustomed to. In the material world or in the material consciousness, we are primarily guided by passion and ignorance. Mostly ignorance, on a good day passion. And passion means living in extremes or thinking in extremes. So either we're very attached to someone and something goes wrong or something, and then we completely hate the person. We swing, it's the pendulum effect. So the moment we hear the word detachment, it means sever everything and walk away. In some cases that is necessary, like many situations in life, that may be necessary. But the consciousness is not of hatred or disappointment or anything. If that's the case, then it's just a matter of time when this pendulum is going to swing back that to the other direction of attachment. So generally young brahmacharis go through this. The phase of detachment is, oh, we don't like any matajis. They should not be anywhere around us because they are maya. That's called the brahmachari effect. Maya, Maya, whoa, Maya, whoa. But then when they have to sing kirtan or dance, then it is all for the ladies. Or something. The mind will play tricks. Should I get married? maybe I should get married. I'm picking on the brahmacharis, but you get the idea. You know, I can pick on the grahasthas. The same attachment. But grahasthas also sit and hear class, Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, and they look and say, Adant Gobir, yes, my wife is such a terrible woman, I think I should give up and just chant Hare Krishna peacefully. 6 hours later, when he's hungry, oh Devi, what's for dinner? Pendulum comes right back. This sense of attachment, detachment, this is not real detachment. So real detachment means, instead of using something or someone for my sense gratification, is to engage them or things in Krishna's service. That's one. Now, detachment from a parenting perspective. This is important because, especially coming from Indian background, one of us. In America, it's a different phenomenon. I'll explain that. In India, parenting is such that the parents are so involved in their children's lives that just as, you know, we say dvija means two births, in a funny way, the two births are to be considered like this. When the first birth happens, the doctor cuts the cord, umbilical cord. Right? The second cord is not seen, but it's there, that the guru has to cut. There's the other umbilical cord that the parents never cut. Even if the child is 40 years old, 50 years old, the mother will say what he should do, should not do. And they actually listen. Oh really? My mother said I cannot do like that. Like, what about your own thinking? Very involved. They're never able to detach themselves that I have given the best that I could give. Now let them make their own decisions and see where they go in life. No. Whoa. What if they make a wrong decision? Kailash. The Western culture is a very different thing. By the time they're 10, children don't care what the parents say. Parents are like, ah, whatever, you decide, man. Extremes. Still, passion. Passion manifests in extremes. Whether this extreme or that extreme. 15, 16, kids are all by themselves. They decide everything. It's not necessarily a nice thing. It's still too early. But the point is not this or that. The point is how a person sees themselves in that relationship. If it is the feelings of one way of attachment manifests is something happens to that person that is in relation to me and I get totally disturbed. That's called attachment and aversion. Versus, I guess another word is neutrality or not becoming. Another is someone's emotions are moving and because of attachment our emotions move at the same range. I'm just giving different things, not necessarily a particular. Is that alright? Does that satisfy you? Radharaman Prabhu. Proprietorship.
Yeah. Now, we know nothing is mine. I'm sitting at the airport working on my laptop. Somebody walks in, wants to take my laptop away. And I shouldn't be saying my laptop, but the laptop away. Now, I'm not going to let him do that, because it is not his. So if it is not mine, and if somebody wants to take it away, what should be my thoughts?
Laptops for free, Black Friday at the airport, please take whatever. The idea that it's not mine is an incomplete idea of detachment. Because I'm not the proprietor, does not mean there is no proprietor. That's an impersonal conception, no proprietor. There is no proprietor for anything. I'm not. No. So we can tell the person, I'm not the proprietor, you're also not the proprietor, so you cannot take it. So the idea that I'm not the proprietor is incomplete. The complete idea is Isha Vasya Midam Sarva. Krishna is the proprietor of everything. And I am a caretaker. This is like a servant who's at home and someone comes to the house and takes away something that belongs to the master. Can the servant say, not mine? Malik ka hai, it's between them. The servant says, excuse me, this belongs to my master, you cannot take. So the real proprietorship is Krishna. And I'm the caretaker. And I will care for it as if my life depended on it. Because it is Krishna's. That is the real sense of Isha Vasyam. It belongs to Krishna. So we take care of Krishna's things carefully. If I had more time, I would have gone off on a little tangent about Krishna's cars in the temple. But it's 8:30. You guys are lucky. Online question. But I have exactly 30 seconds. So you can read and we'll see if we can answer the question yes or no.
This is from Derek Prabhu. He's inquiring, it seems that everything else I have been attached to in life has been based on material benefits. How can we ensure our attachment to devotees or service is pure and with affection?
Very good question. First principle is first, that being attached to devotees, even if it is with material considerations, is all right, because it's the right attachment. As we chant Hare Krishna and associate and hear carefully, we are hopeful that the attachment moves from material to a little bit more on the refined side, becoming spiritualized. Even if it is material, better to be attached to devotees. Even if it is material, that's all right. It's the right thing. However, it's just so we should be aware that since our attachment is material, we will experience the material effects of that attachment. Happiness, distress, cold, warm, happy, unhappy, feeling wanted, needed, feeling rejected. That comes because the attachment is material. But if we stay put and chant Hare Krishna nicely, it will move from that position in proportion to the purity that we are cultivating in the relationship. And hopefully, by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his investment of potency in the chanting of Hare Krishna, will come to the stage of yugayitam, no, what's that? Aslisya vapadaratam pinashtumam. The detachment that my relationship with the devotee or with Krishna is not on the basis of material considerations. This is the relationship and that's it, regardless of what else is in it or not in it. Prahlad Maharaj prays to Lord Narasimhadev, you are my master and I am your servant and that's it. There is nothing else to this. Whether you showed up as Lord Narasimhadev and killed my father, didn't matter. Whether my father was putting me in hot oil and trampling me under elephants, it didn't matter. You're still my master and I'm very clear about that. It's not like, how long, man? You, after all this, you've shown up now? Nothing. You're my master. Doesn't matter whether you manifest or you did not manifest. You manifested, that's your mercy. You didn't manifest, that's your mercy. That level of consciousness. But the attachment was to Narada Muni. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. We'll meet downstairs shortly. Hare Krishna.